Where you have zealous worship for God in spirit and truth, where you see Christians committed and walking in the power of the gospel, where you hear men and women pray and sing and glorify God in their daily worship or weekly worship for the Lord, there's a church that will become fuel for missionaries. But if the church is dead and dry, cold and weary, don't expect young people to say, well, I want to give my life to serve the Lord and honor him because he's worthy. If the saints at home in the church do not worship zealously, declaring the majesty of the Lord, who's going to go forth and serve him? The church is the place of training for service. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and what a joy to bring you the message of the gospel. And I hope that your new year is already going well. With the Lord on the throne, with our trust in him, surely the future is as bright as the promises of God. The Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So that means that we pray. It means that we search his word, that we want to know the will and the mind of God, and we want it to be written on our hearts and minds and given grace to follow and serve the Lord. Now, the challenge today is to serve the Lord in his church. Let me ask you, did you go to church on Sunday? Are you a member of a Bible-believing church where Christ is exalted, where his gospel is preached, and where prayer is offered for the light of the gospel to shine into this darkened world? We need to be active in our service for Christ. And surely that is a great theme for this new year, to be an active Christian, not just one that is sitting on the fence, but one that is busy serving and seeking to exalt the Lord. Today on Let the Bible Speak, we have part two of the message, What is the Church? And we're trying to define and to discover how we may worship God in his church biblically, that we may do it for his glory, and that the blessing of God may be upon our service for him. Again, we have some quotes from Mr. Spurgeon on the church, and I hope that this will also be a challenge to your heart. Al Smith will sing, Be Thou Exalted, and that's really what it's all about, to exalt the Lord Jesus. So stay tuned with us right here on this program as we let the Bible speak today on exalting the Lord in his church. Coming up now is the message. I trust you'll stay tuned. Now, the next area where we have an analogy of the church, and that is, she is the arena of redemption. I want to go back to Acts 20 and verse 24. And if I'm ever going to be guilty of going everywhere preaching the word, I'm going to do it this morning. But here in Acts 20 and verse 24, we see how the apostle himself and exhorted the elders at the church at Ephesus to emphasize salvation, the need for salvation. He says here in Acts 20, verse 24, But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry, that's what we're talking about here. The word, the preaching, the communication of truth, the ministry, which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to what? What did he say? To testify the gospel of the grace of God. And that is the function of the church. Her work is, her ministry is to testify the gospel, the good news, the saving power of the grace of God. And so it's a ministry of grace, not of guilt. Indeed, it is to be free from guilt. And it is to be a ministry that leads people into the liberty. Now, down in verse 28, you'll see how that liberty is played out. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. There's redemption, purchased. That's what redemption means, purchased. What is it that purchases us? What is it that redeems us? It is the blood. And as we preach the blood and preach the atoning work of the Lord Jesus, this church becomes the arena of redemption. It is now the centerpiece where this good news is brought to the souls of men and women. Where else will you find it? Think of all the centers in Cloverdale. There's the recreation center. You'll not find that the arena of redemption. You might find an ice rink, but there's no redemption. There's no good news of the gospel. In fact, you would hardly be allowed to give out a gospel tract. There's the gym. There's all the other sports centers. Where is a place where the Holy Ghost takes his word and applies it to sinners and leads them to the faith and the cross? That's the ministry of the church. That's the arena of redemption. This is where it happens, where God saves sinners and leads them to faith in the Lord Jesus. Now, I really would need a separate sermon on this one. I'm not going to preach it all, but it's really because of the value of a soul. You see in verse 31 there how Paul, for 3 years, preached with tears. He preached with tears for 3 years. Would you pray that God would give me tears in my preaching? This month, Harold Paisley, Dr. Ian Paisley's brother, went home to heaven. I talked to his sister on the phone this week. I wanted just to extend my sympathy. Harold Paisley was with the Plymouth Brethren Gospel Halls. But I remember an elder in our church in Calgary telling me that at a gospel campaign that he conducted in the area of Calgary, that this elder went along and he sat in the meeting and he witnessed Harold Paisley preaching the gospel with the tears flowing down his cheeks. I said this to his brother-in-law that I talked to his sister and his brother-in-law this week on the phone. And he said, yes, Ian, there was a great softness about him. There was a softness in his preaching. I would ask you to pray that God gives me that. I think we're all too hard. We're hardened by many things. But when it comes to the souls of men and women, we need a passion, a love that's real, genuine. Now, tears, you can't fake them. I suppose actors do. I suppose they do. But in normal life, when you see somebody in tears, there's the mark of genuineness. And so we want to be, as Paul laid it out here, a church where people come and hear this glorious gospel. But they hear it not just with scolding, but with real gospel pleading, and where they will be drawn to trust the Savior. Now, this is very important because if you look at verse 26, you'll notice where Paul recognized his responsibility, that he would give account. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Now, he had preached for 3 years in that area of Ephesus. He was leaving. He was handing things over to these others. And he says, now, I'm free from the blood of all men. I have preached in a manner that was honest with the message of God and to warn men of their lost condition. And he is conscious that he would be held responsible for the souls of men, that their blood would be upon him if he was not a faithful preacher. In the church, we need faithful preaching. We need to recognize as a church, we're responsible for what visitors, men and women, hear when they come in and take their seat. We are responsible for what they hear. And our elders are responsible. And members are responsible. And if there's some other message preached from this pulpit, they're to stop it. We all will give account to God for the ministry of the church. Every one of us. And that's why we need to be in prayer. That's why we need to be much on our knees. That God not only gives us an external church, but gives us a ministry of love and faithfulness to the souls of men. Third analogy is that the church is a mother. The church is a mother. Now, this is really a Puritan term. But in Revelation 12, you will find there is a reference there to the woman. Now, there is the false woman in the book of Revelation, but there's also the true woman. And that woman is the church. And she is You can read of that in Revelation chapter 12. Just read you one verse. When the dragon saw that he was cast onto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Now that's the church. And of course she is persecuted and hated in the world. But the church is described as a mother. Now a mother, well, she gives birth. The mother is to give birth to new children. And in the church, through the preaching of God's word, there is to be the birth of souls. Newborn babes are to come forth from the ministry of the church. If people are not being saved, there's a problem. If people are not being converted, if there's not the cry of the newborn babe in the church, then we need to cry to God that he will come down and give us converts. As Rebecca cried, "Give me children or I die." In like ways, the church in prayer cries out, "Lord, we need to see conversions. We need to see our children saved. We need to see men and women coming in through the doors of the church, born again by the Spirit, and joining the church, rejoicing in the gospel." The church is also a mother to nurture children. Now, whether it is the mother that gave birth or a nurse, to feed the child, hold it in those warm arms, to comfort, cherish, nurture the child, and care for it. Watch over it until its days of maturity. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul likened himself to a nurse to new believers. Let me read to you what he said to the church at Thessalonica. "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children." Now that gives you a new perspective on Paul. Paul is the church planter, the theologian, the great thinker. But when he dealt with new converts, he was as a nurse, nurturing, dealing with them graciously and gently. And I'm back to my New Year's prayer. I want my ministry and I want this church to be a great encouragement, a nurturing ministry to young believers and to all of God's saints. That this is a place where people's souls are cared for, a place where you can bring your burdens and, yes, confess your sins and have the grace of the gospel applied and the power of the cross presented. Now, that requires that the church must have love. We must have the love of Christ constraining us. I need that burning in my heart. We want every member, every soul in this church to have the love of the Savior burning within them. It requires patience. That's grace. That's the spirit of enduring difficult things for the good of the weak, for the good of the young in the faith. We that are strong are to support the weak. And that takes patience, gentleness, and clear biblical guidance, and to see that a convert is directed into the way of relief, restoration, and the joy of the Lord. And so, to change the figure of speech, the church ought to be a hothouse to make young Christians grow, just like the tomatoes in the hothouse. You want to turn up the heat and you want to turn up the humidity, and you see conditions of growth. We don't want this church to be cold. We don't want the church to be an atmosphere where people are shriveling up. We want them to blossom. We want God's best for your soul. We want God's smile. We want you to be entering into the joy of the Lord. Remember our time in John 15 where Jesus said, "My joy I give unto you." Not the joy of the world. My joy. I give you my joy. I want every brother and sister and every worshiper here to have a worship of joy. Let me see it on your face. Let me see it on your walk. Let me hear it in your voice when you're praying and even when you're singing. Let it be that worship that is full of the sweetness. Back to the apple again. The sweetness of the Lord Jesus. Let's have more of that. Then my last one, and that is the church is fuel for missions. Fuel for missions. Where you have zealous worship for God in spirit and truth, where you see Christians committed and walking in the power of the gospel, where you hear men and women pray and sing and glorify God in their daily worship or weekly worship for the Lord, there's a church that will become fuel for missionaries. But if the church is dead and dry, cold and weary, don't expect young people to say, well, I want to give my life to serve the Lord and honor him because he's worthy. If the saints at home in the church do not worship zealously, declaring the majesty of the Lord, who's going to go forth and serve him? The church is the place of training for service. I would like to think that people who come to this church for a period of time will begin to know their doctrine. I would like to think that they will know by studying the genuine note what the counterfeit looks like. I'm not interested in preaching the counterfeit. We have to expose it from time to time. My job is to preach the genuine, the real, solid coin of truth. And I want people to know that. And then when they meet the error, they'll recognize it. Just as the banker studies the notes, holds it under the light to see if there's any phony money. When you know the truth, then you'll recognize the error. The church is also the place of stewardship. After all, where else do you give 10% of your income? Would you do it to the sports world or the media world or any other organization? But when it comes to stewardship, the church is the place where you say, I want the blessings that God gives me to be now extended to the great work of the gospel. And so stewardship becomes very important. The church is certainly the place of prayer, where God's people call on the Lord. If you're not a praying Christian, well, you're not really adding much fuel to the fire. It will take a praying Christian to pour oil on the fire. So in closing on this message, let me ask you, in your participation in this church, what are you contributing as fuel for the fire? What are you putting on the fire of worship in this church that's making it burn brighter and hotter? Anything? I hope a whole lot. As I said earlier, no church is possible without God's people coming to worship. And every individual puts something on the fire. And it's our time, our talents, our treasure, our zeal, our testimony, our countenance beaming, coming to God's house in the Spirit. How we need to do that. I'm sure you know the story of the coal that falls out of the fireplace. And while it was in the fireplace with the other coals burning, it's red hot. And then it falls out onto the hearth, and before long it's just black cold. That's what happens when we're not contributing and involved in the church. I have some practical suggestions how you can pour fuel on the fire of the church. Now, don't get me wrong, we're not burning the church down now. This is fuel for worship, fuel to promote the kingdom of God. Number one, pray in private for the Lord's church. If you don't do that, everything else is phony. No point in you praying publicly in church if you don't pray in private. So the first place to start is your closet. Give time to closet prayer. Pray with other Christians. Say to a brother or a sister, will you pray with me? Can we pray together for our church, for the gospel's sake? Thirdly, attend regularly. I would say, with the small program that we have in this church, try to get to every meeting. I look at some church programs and they've got three things on every day of the week. We don't touch that at all. We have two Sunday meetings and one midweek meeting with monthly prayer meetings, ladies' fellowship. So we don't really exhaust people's time, but attend regularly. Come in good time. My, that first few minutes is very precious. Come in the Spirit. Sing with all your heart. Show interest in God's word. You know, let it be seen by people around you. This person's really into this. He's not just sitting there rolling his eyes and blanking out. No, this person's really into this. This means something to this person. Rehearse the sermon to others. That might mean you take a few notes. Evangelize. Tell someone about the gospel that has saved you. And then lastly, obviously, bring others. Just bring somebody. That multiplies things. If everybody brings somebody, the church begins to multiply. And so these are, I believe, God's ways.
Be thou exalted forever and ever, God of eternity, the Ancient of Days, wondrous in majesty, so mighty in wisdom, perfect in holiness, and worthy of praise. Be thou exalted, thy seraphs and angels. Be thou exalted, with harp and with song. Saints in their anthems of rapture adore thee. Thine be the glory forever. Amen. Be thou exalted, O Son of the Highest, gracious Redeemer, our Savior and King, one with the Father, co-equal in glory. Here at thy footstool, our homage we bring. Be thou exalted, O Spirit eternal, dwell in our hearts, keep us holy within. Feed us each day with thy heavenly manna, healer of wounded hearts. Thy praises we sing. Be thou exalted, by seraphs and angels. Be thou exalted, with harp and with song. Saints in their anthems of rapture adore thee. Thine be the glory forever. Amen. Be thou exalted, by seraphs and angels. Be thou exalted, with harp and with song. Saints in their anthems of rapture adore thee. Thine be the glory
listening to Let the Bible Speak, and this is Ian Gallagher. I'm quoting here from Mr. Spurgeon on the church, and he says that the treasury of the church is the liberality of God. The power of the church is the omnipotence of Jehovah. The persuasions of the church are the irresistible influences of the Holy Spirit. The destiny of the church is an ultimate conquest over all the sons of men. Another quote, I have heard of some who stay away because the church is not perfect. Are you perfect? Why, if the church were perfect, we should not endure you in it. I have no doubt that you will find the church quite as perfect as you are. There are others who keep aloof from the people of God because they feel that they are not perfect themselves. My dear friend, if you were perfect, we should not want you, because you would be the only perfect member among us. Another quote, "If I had never joined a church till I had found one that was perfect, I should never have joined one at all. And the moment I did join it, if I had found one, I should have spoiled it, for it would not have been a perfect church after I had become a member of it. Still, imperfect as it is the dearest place on earth to us." And again, never think of the Church of God as if she were in danger. If you do, you will be like Uzzah. You will put forth your hand to steady the ark and provoke the Lord to anger against you. If it were in danger, you could not deliver it. If Christ cannot take care of his church without you, you cannot do it. Be still and know that I am God. And then a final quote here from Mr. Spurgeon. And here is a quote on church planting. "It is with cheerfulness that we dismiss our 12s, our 20s, our 50s to form other churches. We encourage our members to leave us to found other churches. We even seek to persuade them to do it. We ask them to scatter throughout the land to become the goodly seed which God shall bless. I believe that so long as we do this, we shall prosper. I have marked other churches that have adopted the other way, and they have not succeeded." Well, there's the end of our quotes on the church. Now, today we've been preaching on what is a church, and we've looked at several of those examples and analogies that are given in the New Testament. You will realize that the church of the Lord Jesus is the most precious thing on earth to the Lord. And if you're a born-again Christian, if you're saved by grace, it will be a very precious thing to you to be a part of that living body of people who testify and bear witness for the Lord Jesus here on earth. And I trust that you are an active member of a God-fearing, Bible-believing church where you sing, worship, pray, and bear witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord lead you and guide you in this new year to settle in a place where you can serve God with all your heart and with all your soul. Thank you for being a part of the program here today. Stay tuned now for these few final announcements. Thank you for joining with us on the program today, and I hope that your Bible will grow in preciousness to you, that it'll be of more value, more help, and the more you familiarize yourself, study it, and grow in the knowledge of the Word of God, that it will indeed be a true lamp to your feet and a light to your pathway. If we can be of any personal help, feel free to be in touch with us here by letter, email, phone call, or you can visit our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address, 18790 58 Avenue, Cloverdale, BC, V3S 1M6. And, of course, that's the address of our church on the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue, two blocks north of Number 10 Highway. We look forward to having you along with us any Sunday, 10:30 and 6 p.m. for our main services. And so we invite you to come along for the fellowship, for the preaching, and that you might stand for the Lord alongside fellow believers who love the book, who preach the blood, and delight in fellowship with the living God. And also remember our Sunday school, 9:30 Sunday mornings for all ages, children from preschool right up to teenage years, and adult class for mom and dad. So come and join us, and I trust that you will be encouraged as you join with us here at Let the Bible Speak. Remember also our webcasts of the services on our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca. That's each Sunday, 10:30 and 6 on your computer as you go to the website, cloverdalefpc.ca. Thank you for joining with us. May the Lord bless you through his word.